good morning and Merry Christmas. I'm going to say Merry Christmas all month long. We are so glad you chose to join us here at Engage Church. It is our hope that you came in here as you were and that you feel comfortable to be in here as you are. And that is our goal at this church, is all people are welcome in the Lord's house. Let's open our Bibles this morning. And I hope you have yours or somebody next to you has one that you can look on with. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1 again. Luke chapter 1. This time we're going to be in verses 46 through 55. And while you find your way to our scripture this morning, I'm curious, does anybody know the name Thurl Ravenscroft? Anybody? Thurl Ravenscroft. Nobody? Okay. You may not know his name, but chances are you have heard his voice. He did voice work in many Disney animated movies in the 50s and 60s, which I know you think, well, I wasn't alive then, and I promise you've seen these movies. And if you've ever watched How the Grinch Stole Christmas, then you have heard him sing, "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch." Brayden, go ahead and hit that. Make sure the computer's unmuted there, Arvin.
You're a mean one.
That voice.
Mr. Grinch.
This is 1966.
You really
Does everyone recognize his voice now? All right, go ahead and mute it. Let me take back control here. So everybody knows who Thurl Ravenscroft is. If you didn't, you now know. He's the one who initially sang, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch." But what you may not know is what Thurl was most famous for was uttering one line over and over and over again as a cartoon advertiser. For 50 years before his death, he voiced the character of, anyone want to take a stab? Tony the Tiger, look at you. How'd you know that? You know Thurl's Ravenscroft then, didn't you? He knew exactly who I was talking about. He's holding out on me here. Took all my thunder away. He voiced the character of Tony the Tiger, exclaiming again and again about Frosted Flakes. They're great. 50 years of making ads, they always ended with those two words, "They're great." Now, no disrespect to Thurl, but are they really? Are they? Okay, listen, I like Frosted Flakes, and I like the sweet sugary milk that's left in the bottom of the bowl when you're done eating it, when the flakes are gone, but are they really great? See, we use the word great in a lot of different ways, don't we? We have great lakes. We have great plains. And we have great expectations. When we're asked how we're doing, how do we respond? I'm great. See, great is a flexible word, and we use it in a lot of different settings. But what I want to remind us of today, this morning, is that when we use the word great a lot, but only God is truly great. We talked about this morning in Sunday school in humans' goodness versus God's goodness. Listen, only God is truly good. Only God is truly great. And when we compare anything to God, there is nothing that is great besides Him. Nothing. He is great in a way that is beyond what we can fathom or comprehend. So our scripture this morning, if you get to that, it's Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Our scripture this morning is Mary's song. Now in your Bible, it might say Mary's song, it might say the Magnificat, or it might say Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat, okay? Now, the opening words, it's become known as the Magnificat because the opening words in the Latin Vulgate translation, so the word that they use in place of what we have here today, it translates to glorifies. In this song, Mary declares God's greatness. So let's get to our scripture this morning. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. So what can we learn from Mary's song of praise? Listen, if you only get one thing from today's sermon, this is it. You ready? Get ready to write this down. God is blessed when we replace worry with worship. God is blessed when we replace worry with worship. It's a perspective. It's all perspective. We can worry about our troubles, or we can focus on God's greatness. After all, if we look at Mary, can we agree that Mary had a lot to worry about as a pregnant Jewish teenager who was pledged to be married? I have to believe that she was in a horrifying situation that caused a lot of stress, maybe some nervousness, maybe a little bit of fear. Now, just for fun, these may have been a few thoughts that Mary had about her after her encounter with Gabriel, and as the news started to settle in on her, what God just called her to do. Here's some questions she may have asked in the following days and weeks. Will the groom show up to my wedding? Why are my friends and family shunning me? Will my church accept me in worship services? What's happening to my body being newly pregnant? That's all I'm going to say. Parents, I'm sorry. Is this normal? How will we afford this baby? Where will we live? How are we supposed to travel to Bethlehem during my pregnancy? Will this miracle baby survive Herod's threats? And how am I supposed to mother this child? How do you parent God? He's always right. Easiest baby, I think. I don't know. So certainly there's some validity in these thoughts, in these questions. However, instead of focusing on her troubles, Mary chooses to magnify God. In her situation, she chose to magnify God. And what we see in our scripture, you can leave your Bible open to Luke 1. I'm not going to mention every verse by name, but I think you can read with me and figure out where all of these attributes are. In this scripture today, there are 11 attributes that we see about God in Mary's song of praise. The first one is God is Lord. See, He is in charge of our crazy circumstances. He is Lord. The second, God is Savior. He is my deliverer and my rescue. In the first two verses of her song, in the opening lines of Mary's song, she glorifies the Lord and she recognizes her own need of spiritual salvation. Mary, like any one of us who have lived, we're all alive today, she's just like us. She needed Christ as Savior because she too was a sinner. Let's just make sure we understand what I'm saying here. Mary was nothing special, okay? Any one of you ladies could have been in Mary's position because Mary was a sinner just like we are today, okay? So she recognized her need as Christ as Savior. I wonder this morning, do we recognize our need for Christ as our Savior this morning? Do we recognize that we need Christ as our Savior? As we continue on, God is omniscient. God knows our humble estate. God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows every thought in your head. There's nothing you can hide from Him. He knows. Okay? God is omniscient. Next is God is gracious. God blessed Mary with great things for generations. She was the mother of the Messiah. God is omnipotent. Omnipotent is what I used to say, but it's omnipotent. He is mighty, he is all-powerful, and he will bring about, and he did bring about, his sovereign plan of salvation for man. So there's no thing that is outside of God's control. God is holy. His name is holy. His name is perfect, it is right, and it is good. God is merciful. He cares for those who fear him. God is merciful. God is just. He judges the prideful. Are you seeing the correlation if you're looking at it in Scripture? God is generous. He feeds the hungry and he helps people. God is faithful. He remembers his promise to his people. And lastly, in Mary's song, we see God is eternal. He shows his character forever and ever. See, these attributes of God, they hold true for us today as well. Do you believe that this morning? Is God all of these things? All of these things are true. No matter what your situation is, no matter what situations we face on a daily basis, these attributes of God remain the same. Instead of magnifying our problems, focusing on our troubles, and minimizing God, we should do like Mary, and we should rather magnify God. So again, back in Sunday school this morning, we talked about priorities and where we're setting our priorities, and sometimes we put the wrong emphasis on the things right in front of us when reality is we should just focus on God more. I think we can all agree in the midst of life, do we not all encounter daily troubles? Do we all encounter daily problems? Tim had a problem this week at the school on Friday, water main leak, right? First thing in the morning. We would have been at the gym when that was going on, right? We decided to take the day off. So woke up on his plate, problem to deal with, right? Do we not have daily trials that we have in our lives? Do we not have situations that are beyond our control? Do we have things that are beyond our ability to handle every single day? And do not these things have the potential to fill us with strife and worry? So, how we choose to deal with them and respond is pretty important. So instead of worrying, instead of being consumed with our troubles, like Mary, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, it is only by the Holy Spirit that we're able to do any of this. Because he gives us the strength to do it. He gives us the ability to shift our focus. We're able to shift our focus from our problems back to God. Doing so allows us to view our problems, our troubles, from a different perspective while putting God in proper perspective. If we refer back to the list, I've left it up the whole time, but if we refer back to this list, can we all agree that he is all of these things? If we can agree that he is all of these things, then the question is how can we not declare his greatness? If this is true, in every day this holds true, no matter what is going on in our life, how can we not declare his greatness? If we have a bad day, is he any less faithful? If we have a diagnosis that we didn't want to get, is he any less holy? If we're going through a situation that we'd rather not go through, is he any less generous? If you're burned by a loved one, if you're hurt by a loved one, or something goes completely wrong in a relationship, is he any less powerful? No, because his attributes remain the same every single day. He is not changing like the direction of the wind from day to day. He does not change. He is always these things, not because of our circumstances, but in spite of our circumstances. God is greater, bigger, and more powerful and able to help in our time of need. Did you hear that this morning? When we look at God from a proper perspective, our issues seem less worrisome. And they're less stressful because we are focused on who God is. And we're focused on His power and who He is in our lives and what He has spoken over us, because His attributes do not change. Can we all agree that God is forever? That should have been a big resounding amen. If God is forever, our issues, our troubles, listen, they're temporary. They're only a moment in the grand scheme of things. So let's face it. We all go through stuff. We all have stuff that we face every single day. It's just called everyday life. And by the way, the Christian life is not a perfect life. Anybody had a really easy week because you were a Christian? Nobody. I'm shocked. As long as we are in this world, we will have to deal with the things of this world. The perfect Christian life, when does it start? In glory. When we're with Jesus in heaven, when we're at the banquet, when we're at the dinner table with Jesus. We're faced with an onslaught of situations every day that we have to figure out how to navigate through. And this is where we can learn from Mary to respond the same way that she does, because she shows us the right way to do it, because she chose to declare the greatness of God. Every day, we must choose to declare the greatness of God. Do you know where this is going this morning? Every day, we must choose to declare the greatness of God. Now, I've never used this translation before, so if there's something weird with this translation, I'm sorry, but it read really simple so we can all understand what it's saying. Not that we need simple. I need simple. You don't. I know you're all very much smarter than I am. Psalms 145, verses 1 through 3. It is the CEV, Common English Version, and it says, I will praise you, my King, or my God and King, and always honor your name. I will praise you each day and always honor your name. You are wonderful, Lord, and you deserve all praise because you are much greater than anyone can understand. Why don't we say that together? I will praise you, my God and King, and always honor your name. I will praise you each day and always honor your name. You are wonderful, Lord, and you deserve all praise because you are much greater than anyone can understand. Again, I will praise you, my God and King, and always honor your name. I will praise you each day and always honor your name. You are wonderful, Lord, and you deserve all praise because you are much greater than anyone can understand. So do you need some help kickstarting, declaring His greatness? Refer to Psalms 145, verses 1 through 3. Or you could just remember His attributes. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent, which wasn't on the original list, but omnipresent means He is everywhere. He is in all places. He's at all one time. He's not here visiting me and then going over to Arvin and Crystal's house. No, He's there at both places at the same exact time. He is gracious. Has anyone experienced God's grace this morning? Come on. He is holy. He is merciful. He is just. He is generous. He is faithful. And He is eternal. At the end of the day, our troubles of life are here and gone tomorrow. God is here forever. So church, what does this mean? Engaging our community for Jesus, because I've got to put this in every sermon, because this is our mission statement. This is why we live and breathe as a church. We live and breathe to engage our community for Jesus. Here's what that means in, in respect to today's word. It means that we have to know how to keep God in our troubles in proper perspective. If people see us declaring God's greatness, no matter our situations and our troubles, the same way that Mary did, will they not desire to have that same freedom that we have and will want to know God? Or if all they hear is nothing but your problems, troubles, and circumstances, and all my tough luck that I stubbed my toe this morning. I actually didn't, but if all they hear is complaints, and then, hey, do you want to come to church with me on Sunday? No, I don't. I don't know what church you go to, but that is not where I want to go, right? So it's a perspective thing, isn't it? Can life be tough? Yes. Resounding big yes to that one. But it is so much better when we put our focus on God. So church, my question for you this morning, will you praise God daily? Will you praise God daily? Will you honor Him? And will you always declare the greatness of God? Is it okay to worry about your situation? Maybe for that long of a second. Instead, let's focus on who God is. Because after all, isn't He in control of all of it? Joel, if you want to come on up. If you guys would, you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. The greatness of God is all wrapped up into the best present ever. And present is in quotation marks. Because all of His greatness is revealed in Jesus Christ and the work of the cross. Let's understand one thing. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. There is nothing you can do to make your way into heaven. There's nothing that you are able to do. You can't be good enough. You can't be nice enough. You can't work hard enough. We are just not good. Fortunately, the good thing is God did not wait until we somehow learned to be good, because while we were still in our sinful state, Christ died for us, the unrighteous. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So church, before you can even begin to understand the greatness of God, before you can really truly declare the greatness of God, it starts by stepping into a relationship with God and first experiencing His greatness. How can you say God is gracious if you've never experienced His grace? How can we say He's merciful if we've never experienced His mercy? So, if you've never said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, and you don't have a relationship, you've never believed in Him, you've never called on His name, maybe you have, you've made some bad choices, you've stepped away, it's been many years, and you're here this morning, and God's saying, hey, I'm here. Open your heart to me. So maybe this isn't a fresh way. If you would like to have that relationship with Jesus, would you please just raise your hand for me this morning? Amen. See, Church Mary, she could have focused on her troubles. But instead, she chose to focus and declare God's greatness. And I wonder this morning, where do we find ourselves focused? Where do we put our priorities? Are we more focused on our troubles, where we forget to focus on God, where we forget to declare His greatness? When we focus and declare His greatness, our troubles seem minor. They're insignificant in comparison. Now, that doesn't mean that our troubles aren't still there. It doesn't mean that we still don't have to figure out how to navigate through them, that how we have to walk through them and deal with them. But we get to do it from the perspective that God is going through it with us, instead of us doing it alone. And church, if you didn't know this, our nature isn't to declare His greatness. Our nature is to be consumed and focused on self, on ourselves. We are focused on who we are, what we want to do, when we want to do it. It is very inward focused. So to declare God's greatness, what does it take? Being intentional. It takes the right heart, and it takes an understanding of who He is. So as we get ready to close this morning, listen, if you need prayer for sickness, for situations, I know we've got a lot going on as a church right now with just people needing healing and God's touch. Listen, we want to pray with you. But I want to challenge us this morning to end in a little different way. I called Joel yesterday, and I said, Joel, I want to end with almost like a power ballad. I want something strong, because today I want us to declare together God's greatness. If that means you stay in your chair and you do it, great. If that means you come up to the altar and you just submit before Him, that's what I want. But I want us together as a church to worship, to sing, to shout, to thank Him verbally for the things that He's done in your life. Deb, do I know everything going on in your life? Do I know what you have to be thankful for? No. Do you know what you have to be thankful for? Yes. So guess what? She has a reason to declare God's greatness this morning, and so does every single one of you. So let me encourage you this morning as we close. If you want prayer, come up to this side. We will pray with you. I might keep my distance, but I want to pray with you this morning. But if you just want to worship, fill the altar, stand to your feet, let your voices lift loud in song and prayer this morning. Amen? Amen.